إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. روى الإمام البخاري في صحيحه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله تعالى قال: من عادى لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب، وما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي مما افترضت عليه، وما يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه، فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به وبصره الذي يبصر به ويده التي يبطش بها ورجله التي يمشي بها، وإن سألني لأعطينه ولئن استعاذني لأعيذنه. نعم نعم أيها المسلم، أأراك تريد أن يحبك الله؟ إذن فهل تراك أحسنت في الفرائض التي ما تقرب إلى الله بشيء أفضل من الفرائض؟ كما قال تعالى: وما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب مما افترضته عليه. أيها المسلم، هل أراك تريد أن يحبك الله؟ إذن فأين أنت من قوله تعالى: وما يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه؟ أين أنت من نوافل الصلاة مثل صلاة الليل التي امتدح الله أهلها بقوله: والذين يبيتون لربهم سجدا وقياما، وبقوله: كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون. أيها المسلم، أأراك ترجو أن يحبك الله؟ إذن فأين أنت من صلاة الوتر الذي قال عنها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله وتر يحب الوتر فأوتروا يا أهل القرآن. رواه الترمذي والنسائي وأبو داود بسند حسن. أيها المسلم، أأراك ترجو أن يحبك الله؟ إذن فأين أنت من صلاة الرواتب التي قال عنها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما من عبد مسلم يصلي لله تعالى كل يوم 12 ركعة تطوعا غير الفريضة إلا بنى الله له بيتا في الجنة. رواه مسلم عن أم حبيبة أم المؤمنين رملة رضي الله عنها وأرضاها. أيها المسلم، أأراك ترجو أن يحبك الله؟ إذن فأين أنت من صلاة الضحى التي قال عنها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يصبح على كل سلامة من أحدكم، والسلامة هي المفصل، وكل إنسان فيه 360 مفصلة، يصبح على كل سلامة من أحدكم صدقة، فكل تسبيحة صدقة، وكل تحميدة صدقة، وكل تهليلة صدقة، وكل تكبيرة صدقة، وأمر بالمعروف صدقة، ونهي عن المنكر صدقة، ويجزئ عن ذلك كله، ويجزئ من ذلك كله 2 ركعتان يركعهما من الضحى. رواه مسلم. أيها المسلم، أأراك ترجو أن يحبك الله؟ إذن فأين أنت من صيام الاثنين والخميس التي قال عنها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: تعرض الأعمال يوم الاثنين والخميس فأحب أن يعرض عملي وأنا صائم. رواه الترمذي. أيها المسلم، أأراك تريد أن يحبك الله؟ إذن فأين أنت من صيام الأيام البيض التي قال عنها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: صوم 3 أيام من كل شهر صوم الدهر كله. متفق عليه. أيها المسلم، أأراك ترجو أن يحبك الله؟ فأين أنت إذن من تفطير الصائمين الذي قال عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من فطر صائما كان له مثل أجره غير أنه لا ينقص من أجر الصائم شيء. رواه الترمذي. أيها المسلم، أأراك ترجو أن يحبك الله؟ إذن فأين أنت من تكرار الحج والعمرة التي قال عنها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: العمرة إلى العمرة كفارة لما بينهما، والحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة، متفق عليه. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: تابعوا بين الحج والعمرة، فإنهما ينفيان الفقر والذنوب كما ينفي كما تنفي النار خبز الحديد. ولئن كنت في أمكنة بعيدة لا تقدر معها المجيء إلى البيت الحرام لأداء العمرة، فأين أنت من عمرة كل يوم؟ أين أنت من عمرة كل يوم؟ فمن الناس من يجتهد ويأتي بعمرة وحج كل يوم، من الناس من يأتي بعمرة وحج كل يوم، لكن لا بزيارة البيت الحرام، وإنما بما أرشد إليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حين قال: من صلى الفجر في جماعة، يعني في جماعة المسجد، ثم مكث في المكان الذي صلى فيه حتى تطلع الشمس وترتفع قدر الرمح، ثم صلى ركعتين من غير أن يحدث، كان له أجر حجة وعمرة تامة، فأين أنت من ذلك؟ أيها المسلم، أأراك ترجو أن يحبك الله؟ إذا فأين أنت من الأيتام الذين قال عنهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أنا وكافل اليتيم في الجنة هكذا، وأشار بالسبابة والوسطى وفرج بينهما، رواه البخاري. وأين أنت من إرشاده لذلكم الرجل الذي أتاه فقال فشكى إليه قسوة قلبه، فقال: امسح على رأس اليتيم، امسح على رأس اليتيم. أيها المسلم، أأراك ترجو أن يحبك الله؟ إذن فأين أنت من الأرامل والمساكين الذين قال عنهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الساعي على الأرملة والمسكين كالمجاهد في سبيل الله؟ قال الراوي وأحسبه قال: وكالقائم الذي لا يفتر، وكالصائم الذي لا يفطر، متفق عليه. أيها المسلم، أأراك ترجو أن يحبك الله؟ إذن فأين أنت من بر الوالدين الذي قال عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حين سئل: أي العمل أحب إلى الله؟ قال: الصلاة على وقتها. وقال ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه: قلت ثم أي؟ قال: بر الوالدين. قال: قلت ثم أي؟ قال: الجهاد في سبيل الله، متفق عليه. وليس هذا فقط حال كونهما حيين، ولكن حتى بعد موتهما، فقد جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يسأله: هل بقي علي من بر والدي شيء أبرهما به بعد موتهما؟ قال: نعم، تدعو لهما وتصل الرحم التي لا تصل إلا عن طريقهما، وتحسن إلى صديقهما. أيها المسلم، أأراك ترجو أن يحبك الله؟ إذن فأين أنت من عيادة المرضى التي قال عنها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله عز وجل يقول يوم القيامة: يا ابن آدم، مرضت فلم تعدني. قال: يا ربي، كيف أعودك وأنت رب العالمين؟ قال: أما علمت أن عبدي فلانا مرض فلم تعده؟ أما علمت أنك لو عدته لوجدتني عنده؟ يا ابن آدم، استطعمتك فلم تطعمني. قال: يا ربي، كيف أطعمك وأنت رب العالمين؟ قال: أما علمت أنه استطعمك عبدي فلان فلم تطعمه؟ أما علمت أنك لو أطعمته لوجدت ذلك عندي؟ يا ابن آدم استسقيتك فلم تسقني. قال: يا ربي كيف أسقيك وأنت رب العالمين؟ قال: استسقاك عبدي فلان فلم تسقه. أما علمت أنك لو أسقيته لوجدت ذلك عندي؟ أيها المسلم، أأراك ترجو أن يحبك الله؟ إذن فأين أنت من زيارة القبور التي يقول عنها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كنت نهيتكم عن زيارة القبور فزوروها فإنها تذكر الآخرة، رواه مسلم. أيها المسلم، أأراك ترجو أن يحبك الله؟ فكيف وأنت متلبس بظلم العباد غيبة ونميمة وغشا وخديعة واختلاسا وسريقة ومكرا؟ فكيف إذا يحبك الله؟ كيف يحبك الله وأنت مبغض لعباد الله مؤذن لهم؟ والله عز وجل يغضب لغضب عبده إذا أغضب، يغضب لغضب عبده إذا أغضب، وينتقم لعبده إذا ظلم. فاتقوا الله عباد الله، وتقربوا إلى الله يحببكم الله، فيكون لكم سمعا وبصرا ويحيطكم بعنايته سبحانه وتعالى. ومن ينصره الله فلا غالب له. أقول ما تسمعون، وأستغفر الله العظيم الجليل لي ولكم من كل ذنب، فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الهادي إلى رضوانه، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وآله وأصحابه وإخوانه وأعوانه ومن تبعهم إلى يوم يبعث الله الناس للقائه، أما بعد. أيها المسلم، أأراك ترجو أن يحبك الله؟ إذن فأين أنت من صلة الرحم والإحسان إلى الجار وإكرام الضيف وحسن العشرة وإفشاء السلام وإطعام الطعام وإحسان الكلام وقراءة القرآن وحفر الآبار وبناء المساجد أو الإسهام فيها وتنظيفها وتجميلها وإرشاد الضال وتعليم الجاهل وحسن الخلق والحلم والأناه وكف الأذى وبذل الندى وطلب العلم وتعليمه وبذل المال والجاه في سبيل الله، كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: من مشى في حاجة أخيه كان خيرا له من أن يعتكف 10 سنين، ومن اعتكف يوما ابتغاء وجه الله جعل الله بينه وبين النار 3 خنادق، كل خندق أبعد مما بين الخافقين، رواه الطبراني والحاكم. وقال صحيح الإسناد، إلا أنه قال: لأن يمشي أحدكم مع أخيه في قضاء حاجة وأشار بإصبعه أفضل من أن يعتكف في مسجد هذا 2 شهر. أيها المسلم، أأراك ترجو أن يحبك الله؟ إذن فأين أنت من ذكر الله الذي قال عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا أخبركم بخير أعمالكم وأزكاها عند مليككم وأرفعها في درجاتكم، وخير لكم من إنفاق الذهب والفضة، وخير لكم من أن تلقوا عدوكم فتضربوا أعناقهم ويضربوا أعناقكم؟ قالوا: بلى. قال: ذكر الله تعالى، رواه الترمذي والحاكم بإسناد صحيح. نعم يا عباد الله، بمثل هذه النوافل يحبكم الله، فاجتهدوا بارك الله فيكم، وأروا الله عز وجل منكم ما يرضيه ويرضى به عنكم، ألا واعلموا أنه من أفضل ما تتقربون به إلى ربكم الإكثار من الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، كما قال ربكم: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما، وكما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صلى علي صلاة واحدة صلى الله بها عليه عشرا، رواه مسلم. فاللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد سيد ولد آدم صاحب اللواء المعقود والحوض المورود والشفاعة العظمى، اللهم احشرنا في زمرته واكسبنا شفاعته وارزقنا في الجنة صحبته، انك على كل شيء قدير. عباد الله، ان الله يأمر بالعدل والاحسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون، فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم، واشكروه على عموم نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله اكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
اعتدلوا تراهوا تطاهروا تناظروا في الخلق حاذوا بين المنازل والاقدام لا تدعوا الرجال للشيطان. الله اكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. فاتقوا النار التي وقودها الناس فاتقوا النار التي وقودها الناس والحجارة أعدت للكافرين. اللهم اصبر. الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. وبشر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أن لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة رزقا قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل وأتوا به متشابها ولهم فيها وهم فيها خالدون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
قبل أن أقعد على المنبر أراني على الأخوان بقول أحد من
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، ما بعد، اياكم الله يا brothers and sisters to the translation of the khutbah. As usual, we began by خطبة الحاجة, and then I said that Imam al-Bukhari reported in his صحيح on the subject of Abu Hurairah رضي الله تعالى عنه. Just let me take this announcement. I forgot to translate the announcement. I was saying right after the khutbah, after the salah, that there's one of the residents of this compound from the Bangladeshi brothers passed away yesterday afternoon, left behind a daughter and his wife, who's a widow, and we, as you are going to hear, the khutbah was about how to gain the love of Allah. How can how Allah Ta'ala loves you, and from this way is to sponsor or to adopt, not adopt by meaning you take him in your name, or but adopt by giving care to him, to the orphan and widow. Now, this is one way of how to please Allah Ta'ala, so Allah Ta'ala loves you. So from there we said that anybody who wants to donate something to this family of this brother, inshallah can coordinate with Alauddin and Abdul Rabb, inshallah Ta'ala. They know the family, so they can take you to the family and you give the family directly. You better give the family directly, inshallah. Now, so I said that Imam Bukhari reported in his Sahih on the authority of Abu Hurairah رضي الله تعالى عنه that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah Ta'ala said, and this is called Hadith Qudsi, من عاد لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب. Who set up an enmity with any wali of mine, then I declare war against him. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِأَحَبَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ. And my slave cannot come closer to me with anything like something that I made obligatory of him. وما يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه. And my slave will continue coming closer to me, towards me, by doing and performing optional worship up until I love him. فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به. So if I love him, I will be his hearing that he hears with, وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ, and his sighting that he sights, that he sees with, وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا, and his hand that he hits with or takes with, وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا, and his leg that he walks with. وَإِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ. And if he asked me anything, I would give it to him. وَلَئِنْ اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ. And if he seeks refuge with me, I would protect him. And this means that Allah Ta'ala will surround the slave with all care from Allah Ta'ala, will protect him. And we want to stop by these meanings here. I said then, yes, O Muslim. Would I assume that you wish, that you hope that Allah loves you? Then, should you then perform the obligatory worship perfectly, as there is nothing that you can do which can be from the things that Allah loves the most, like the obligatory worship. As he Allah Ta'ala said in this hadith, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِأَحَبَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ. And my slave would never come to closer to me with anything like something that I made obligatory with him. O Muslim, should I find you hoping that Allah Ta'ala loves you, then where are you from the saying of Allah, وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. And my slave will continue coming closer to me by performing the optional deeds up until I love it. Where are you from the optional prayer, the life of night prayer, which Allah Ta'ala praised the practice of it? As he Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Furqan, ayah 64, وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. And those who spend the night in worship of their Lord, prostrating and standing. And the saying of Allah Ta'ala, describing the believers, كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون. They were for only little times during the night found sleeping. O Muslims, should I find you hoping that Allah loves you, then where are you from Salatul Witr, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said about, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وِتْرٌ يُحِبُّ الْوِتْرَ فَأَوْتِرُوا يَعْلَى الْقُرْآنِ. Verily Allah is witr, meaning warmth. يُحِبُّ الْوِتْر, meaning he loves the odd numbers, meaning in worship. فَأَوْتِرُوا يَعْلَى الْقُرْآنِ. So perform the witr, O people of Qur'an. And this hadith is reported by Tirmidhi, النسائي, أبو داود, and it is a good hadith. O Muslim, should I find you hoping that Allah loves you, then where are you from Salatul Rawatib, the optional prayers which are signed along with the obligatory prayers that the Prophet ﷺ said about them, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ مُسْلِمٍ يُصَلِّي لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى كُلَّ يَوْمٍ ثنتي عَشَرَةَ رَكْعَةٍ تَطَوُّعًا غَيْرَ الْفَرِيضَةِ إِلَّا بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. There will be no slave, no Muslim slave, who prays for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, exalted, and each day 12 rak'ah, optional, other than the obligatory prayer, except that Allah Ta'ala built a house for him in the Jannah. And this is reported by Imam Muslim in the authority of Umm al-Mu'mineen, the mother of believers, Umm Habiba, Ramla bint Abi Sufyan radiallahu anha. O Muslim, should I find you, hoping that Allah Ta'ala loves you, Then where are you from Salat al-Duha? The prayer that you pray from the time of, and after the sunrise, a while after the sunrise, 10 minutes, 15 minutes after the sunrise, until before the sun be in the middle of the sky, which is called the zenith. And between these two times, there is a prayer called Salat al-Duha, that the Prophet ﷺ said about it, يُصْبِحُ عَلَى كُلِّ سُلَامَ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقًا. Every morning, every one of you has to give a sadaqah for each joint of his body. For each joint. And human being, every human being, has 360 joints in his body. So in each day, you got to pay 360 sadaqah. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَكُلُّ تَسْبِيحَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ. Every time you say, Subhanallah, this is sadaqah. وَكُلُّ تَحْمِيدَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ. And every time you say, Alhamdulillah, that this is sadaqah. وَكُلُّ تَهْلِيلَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ. Every time you say, La ilaha illallah, this is sadaqah. وَكُلُّ تَكْبِيرَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ. And every time you say, Allahu Akbar, this is sadaqah. وَأَمْرٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ صَدَقَةٍ. And joining the good sadaqah. Calling to the good, sadaqah. وَنَهْيٌ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ صَدَقَةٍ. And forbidding the evil, sadaqah. وَيُجْزِئُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ رَكْعَتَانِ يَرْكَعُهُمَا مِنَ الضُّحَى. And would be sufficient from all this, or for all this, two rak'ah that you pray in the duha time. And this hadith is reported by Imam Muslim. O Muslim, should I find you hoping that Allah loves you, then where are you from fasting Mondays and Thursdays? That which Allah, that which Rasulullah ﷺ said about it, تُعْرَضُ الْأَعْمَالُ يَوْمَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ وَالْخَمِيسِ فَأُحِبُّ أَنْ يُعْرَضَ عَمَلِي وَأَنَا صَائِمُ. رواه الترمذي. The deeds which are recorded in the records are offered every Monday, and meaning by the sunset of Monday and sunset of Thursday. And then he said, and I wish that my record of deeds be offered when I am in a state of fasting, because this will guarantee forgiveness. O Muslim, should I find you hoping that Allah loves you, then where are you from the fasting of what is called Al-Ayyamul Bidh, the night in which the moon is full, the 13th, 14th and 15th, that which the Prophet ﷺ said about them, صَوْمُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ مِنْ كُلِّ شَهْرٍ صَوْمُ الدَّهْرِ كُلَّهِ صَوْمُ الدَّهْرِ كُلِّهِ متفق عليه. Fasting 3 days a month, and from each month, this equals fasting the whole year. Now this is not necessarily to be 13, 14, or 15. No, as there is a hadith in which one of the wives of Rasulullah was asked, how was the fasting of Rasulullah? She said he fasts 3 days every month. He said, which days she is? She said, he did not used to care about which days they are. And some ulama said that if you can't fast these 3 days, if you can't fast them, if it is possible, then this is the best. If not, then choose any day. Even if you just make them Thursdays only, because you are on rest day here in Saudi, or Sundays. Saturdays cannot be fasted alone. But if you are in other than Saudi Arabia, where the weekends are Saturdays and Sundays, then make them Sundays. Make them Sundays. Now, at least on every Sunday. So by that you'll be, inshallah, doing 3 days a month. نعم. But of course it is better to be either the three days middle of the month or Mondays and Thursdays. نعم. O Muslim, should I find you hoping that Allah Ta'ala loves you, then where are you from providing iftar for people who are fasting, providing food to the people who are fasting to break their fasting? As the Prophet ﷺ says, "Man fattara sa'iman kana lahu mithlu ajrihi ghayra annahu la yanqus min ajri as-sa'imi shay'a," rawahu at-Tirmidhi. Whoever provides iftar or food for one who is fasting, then he would be given a similar reward of fasting. Yani if you are not fasting that day, but you offered food, even little dates and water or something, to somebody who is fasting, to make him break his fasting at Maghrib, even if he's not poor, this does not relate to poor people, even if he's the most rich one in the country, but he's fasting and you provide him water and dates, or only water or only dates or whatsoever to make him break his fasting with, then you would be given a reward of fasting that day, like if you have fasted that day. Now, and then the Prophet ﷺ said he will be given a similar reward to that one who was fasting, but the reward of the one who was fasting would not be decreased. O Muslim, should I find you hoping that Allah loves you, then where are you from repeating the Hajj and Umrah, performing Hajj and Umrah in sequence many times? As the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Umratu ila al-Umrah kaffaratu lima baynahum. Umrah to the next Umrah, this is a cause of forgiveness of all the sins between them. Wal-Hajj al-Mabrur laysa lahu jazaun illa al-Jannah. And the perfect Hajj, which is based on sincerity and following the Prophet ﷺ in all the rituals of Hajj, then there is no reward for it except the Jannah. And this hadith is agreed upon. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تابعوا بين الحج والعمرة فإنهما ينفيان الفقر والذنوب كما تنفى النار خبث الحديث. Do Hajj and Umrah repeatedly, one following the other, as they remove perversity and sin, exactly like fire removes all the dust and other minerals from gold. Yes. Yeah, it removes impurities, and it, yani, that's what exactly the Umrah and Hajj do when you do them frequently and repeatedly. And also, he saw Sallam said, yani, I asked a question on the member, and said, yani, maybe someone who is not living in Jeddah, so it is difficult for him to go and bring Umrah time to time. But even ones in Jeddah, maybe it is difficult for them to go every day. And even if they can go for Umrah every day, they still cannot do Hajj every day. But there is a way that the Prophet ﷺ told us, that you gain the reward of performing Hajj every day. Performing Hajj every day. Isa sallam said, whoever prays Fajr in Jama'ah, in the masjid, in a congregation in the masjid, and remains seated in the masjid, keeping his purity, his tahara with him, and he does not lose his tahara, and also of course does not commit any sin like slandering and backbiting and this, until the sun rises and then it goes above the object about yani fire length, fire height, and this may be about 10 to 15 minutes after the sun rises, not after the light comes up, but the sun rises, you see it, and then it completely goes up. Then from the time you see the sun, 10 to 15 to 20 minutes, then you pray two rak'ah. These two rak'ah will equal in the world one perfect Hajj and Umrah. One perfect Hajj and one perfect Umrah. Look at that. O Muslim, should I find you hoping that Allah loves you, then what are you from the orphans? The orphans, which the Prophet ﷺ said about them, أنا وكافر اليتيم في الجنة هكذا وأشار بالسبابة والوسطى وفرج بينهما رواه البخاري. He said, me and the one who sponsors the orphans, sponsor meaning you give them care, you adopt them, but not in your name. Now, then me and this person will come in the Jannah like this. And it's separated between the index finger and the middle finger. And they have to be close like that in the Jannah. So it means your house in the Jannah will be close to the house of Rasulullah. That means you are close to Allah. That means you are in the highest of the Jannah. And in the other hadith, Rasulullah said, a man came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, I feel some hardness in my heart. He then told him, why over the head of an orphan? Meaning, do good to the orphan, so Allah Ta'ala will soften your heart. O Muslim, should I find you hoping that Allah Ta'ala loves you, then where are you from the widows and the miskeen people, the poor people? That the Prophet ﷺ said, As-sa'i ala al-armalati wal-miskeen kal-mujahidi fi sabilillah. The narrator said, and I think he also said, he said, wa kal-qa'im alladhi la yaftur wa kal-qa'im alladhi la yaftur. Muttafaqun. He ﷺ said, the one who takes care about the orphans and the poor people, then he is exactly like the one who is performing jihad fi sabilillah. Who is performing jihad fi sabilillah. Today jihad fi sabilillah is something difficult. So I wonder, you are the jihad. Look like this. Just take care of a widow, also orphan and poor people, and Allah will give you the reward of jihad. And also, as the narrator said, and I thought that he also said, and like the one who stands all the night, every night, never get tired, stand for praying all the night, every night, all of his life, and the like of a person who fasts every day, all the life, just by taking care of widows and poor people. Help them. O Muslim, should I find you hoping that Allah Ta'ala loves you, then where are you from birrul walidain? Birrul walidain, being grateful and useful to your parents. Where are you from that? Which the Prophet ﷺ said when he was asked, which deed is more beloved to Allah? He ﷺ said, Praying on time. Ibn Mas'ud, the narrator of Allah Ta'ala anhu, said, I said to him, then what? He said, then birrul walidayn, being grateful and useful to your parents. And then he said, then what? He said, then al jihadu fi sabilillah. Then at the third level, jihad fi sabilillah comes. And this hadith is agreed upon. In the other hadith, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that the parents father and mother are gates to the Jannah. You either get through the Jannah, through into the Jannah, or lose them. You can lose them. You can lose two gates by being undutiful, ungrateful to yourself. Naam? O Muslim, should I find you hoping that Allah loves you, then where are you from visiting the ill people, ill persons, the sick people? As he said, verily Allah Ta'ala says on the day of resurrection, O slave of Adam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَقُولُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَبْنَ آدَمَ مَرِضْتُ فَلَمْ تَعُدْنِي. I was sick and you did not visit me. Allah says that. Then the slave says, كَيْفَ أَعُودُكَ وَأَنْتَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. قَالَ يَا رَبِّ كَيْفَ أَعُودُكَ وَأَنْتَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Oh my Lord, how come I visit you and you are the Lord of all universes? He says, Allah Ta'ala then says, أما علمت أن عبدي فلانا مريضا. Didn't you know that my slave so and so was sick? فلم تعده and you did not visit him. أما علمت أنك لو عدت لوجدتني عنده. Didn't you know that if you visited him you would have found me there. And this means يعني Allah Ta'ala said I was sick, it does not mean that he himself, but he is now saying that my slave that I love this slave and you ignored him, you did not visit him. And when he said you would find me there, it means by the pleasure of Allah, it pleases Allah, pleasure of Allah, the support of Allah, the love of Allah, and the reward from Allah. And then he said, oh my slave, I asked you to feed me but you did not feed me. He says, oh my Lord, how come I feed you and you are the Lord of the universe, all universes? He says, didn't you know that my slave so and so asked you to feed him but you did not feed him? Didn't you know that if you would have fed him that you would find that with me, meaning reward on that day? And then he says, oh slave, oh son of Adam, I asked you to provide me, to give me water to drink to kill my thirst, but you did not give me, you did not feed me water. He is the slave, says, oh my Lord, how come I feed you water while you are the Lord of all universes? He said, my slave so and so asked you to feed him water but you did not. Didn't you know that if you fed him water you would have found that with me, meaning reward on the day of resurrection? O Muslim, should I find you hoping that Allah Ta'ala loves you, then where are you from visiting the grave? Which the Prophet ﷺ said about in Sahih Muslim, كُنْتُ نَعِيتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ فَزُورُوهَ فَإِنَّا تُذَكِّرُ الْآخِرَةِ. I did forbid for you to visit the grave, but now I command you to visit the grave. Go and visit, as this reminds you of the Akhirah, of the hereafter. O slave, O Muslim, should I find you hoping that Allah Ta'ala loves you, then where are you from having good kinship? Where are you from being good to your neighbor? Where are you from being kind, from the kindness to the guest? Where are you from the good relation with your family, wife and children, and also your brothers? Where are you from spreading salam by saying salamu alaykum to everyone you see from the Muslims, whether you know him or you don't know him? Where are you from feeding the poor people? Where are you from
speaking the truth and the good speech, and keeping quiet whenever it is not needed to speak. Where are you from reciting the Quran? Where are you from digging wells for people to drink water of? Where are you from building mosques, or at least participate in building, whether by little money you have or by physically you come and help? Where are you from cleaning the mosque? Where are you from perfuming the mosque with perfumes and incense and whatsoever? Where are you from taking care of the mosque? Where are you from guiding the one who is lost and misguided, lost on ways and misguided in his religion? Where are you from teaching the ignorant? Where are you from the good manners and characters, honesty, mercy, and all other good manners and characters? Where are you from tolerance? Where are you from holding your harmfulness? Where are you from holding your harmfulness from being extended to the others? Where are you from doing all and everything good that you can do to the others? Where are you from seeking knowledge and teaching it? Where are you from spending your wealth and your honor for the sake of Allah? As the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever Muslim goes with his brother who is in need for him until he makes him have whatever he needed, then this is better for him than performing i'tikaf in the masjid of Rasulullah for 10 years. 10 years i'tikaf, this will be better. When you help someone in obtaining or having whatever need that he needed, whatever thing that he needed, then this is better for you than performing i'tikaf in the masjid of Rasulullah for 10 years. And i'tikaf of one day for the sake of Allah, i'tikaf of one day for the sake of Allah, Allah Ta'ala distanced you from the fire of three trenches. Each trench is wider than the north and south. Wider than the distance between the north and south. Greater than the distance between north and south. And this hadith is reported by Tabarani al-Hakim, who said that it's not sahih. Except that in al-Hakim he said, in the hadith of al-Hakim, the Prophet said, لَا يَمْشِي أَحَدُكُمْ مَعَ أَخِيهِ فِي قَضَاءِ حَاجَةٍ وَأَشَارَ بِإِصْبَعِهِ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ أَنْ يَعْتَكِفَ بِمَسْجِدِ هَذَا الشَّهْرَيْنِ. He whoever goes with his brother for a need of his brother until it is done, then this is better than performing i'tikaf in my masjid for 2 months. So this was the first part of the khutbah, and then we began the second part of praising Allah and sending peace and blessing to Abu Rasulullah, his companions, family, and all the followers of his until the day of resurrection. And then I said, O slave of Allah, should I find you hoping that Allah Ta'ala loves you? Then where are you from the dhikr Allah? From the dhikr, where are you from the dhikr that Allah Ta'ala said about it? أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِخَيْرِ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. Should I not tell you what is the best of your deeds? وَأَزْكَاهَا عِنْدَ مَلِيكِكُمْ, and the most worthy ones before your Lord. وَأَرْفَعَهَا فِي دَرَجَاتِكُمْ, and that can elevate you higher in the ranks of Jannah. وخير لكم من انفاق الذهب والفضة and better for you from spending gold and silver for the sake of Allah. وخير لكم من أن تلقوا عدوكم فتضربوا أعناقهم ويضربوا أعناقكم. I'm better for you from facing your enemy so you break their neck and they break your neck, meaning you fight for the sake of Allah. They said, Ya Rasulullah, tell us, what is that thing that can be better than all of these? Look at that. Vending gold and silver for the sake of Allah. Jihad fi sabilillah. What can be better than that? He said, Dhikrullah. Dhikrullah. To do remembrance of Allah. Rawahu al-Tirmidhi wal-Hakim bi isnad sahih. This hadith was reported by Tirmidhi and Hakim with good narration. Yes, all slaves of Allah. By the like of these optional deeds that we mentioned, Allah Ta'ala loves you. So do your best. Do your best, may Allah bless you. And show Allah what He subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with you. And you got to know that the best of your optional deeds that you can come close to Allah with is saying a lot of as-salatu was-salamu ala rasulillah. As Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah 56, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Verily Allah and His angels do salah, and this has explanation. The salah from Allah upon His Prophet means that Allah Ta'ala mentions Him by His name in a way of pleasure before the angels. This is my most beloved slave, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the salah of the angels upon Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam means that they always remember him, and mention his name amongst each other, and also they ask Allah to remember to mention his name amongst the angels. And then Allah Ta'ala said, and the salah upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from mankind means that you ask Allah to be pleased with him and to mention his name before the angels as the most beloved slave. Naam. And Allah Ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Oh, you who believe, then practice this salah and salam Allah Abu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as he said in Sahih Muslim, من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله بها علي عشرة. Whoever says الصلاة والسلام upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم one time, says صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah will do this thing for him, for the one who said it, 10 times. 10 times. So, all slaves of Allah, verily Allah only commands of good and justice, and to always have good relation and kinship to your relatives. And here Allah Ta'ala forbids the fahsha in speech and munkar in action, which are all the evil of speech and evil of action. Wal-baghi of written, ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkaroon. So Allah Ta'ala is reminding you so you may remember and repent to Allah Ta'ala. So remember Allah, Allah will remember you, meaning Allah will mention you and the heaven, and be grateful to your Lord and thank Him for all the blessings that He bestows on you. So Allah Ta'ala increased Him for you, and the remembrance of Allah is greater than anything else, and Allah knows whatever you do. Wallahu Ta'ala A'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad ala sahbih. This is the topic of the khutbah, on how to gain the love of Allah. If you have any questions related to the topic, inshallah ta'ala we'll take, otherwise we can move to the Durus al-Sharah. Alaykum as-salam.
Regarding some of the good things that you mentioned, I remember a while ago an issue was raised. From these four good deeds, there was some confusion about some of the brothers. What are some of the deeds that the kuffar are not actually taking part in these deeds? Meaning there are some deeds where we're not supposed to do it with the kuffar.
Well, anything that is related to worship, that is not allowed. But like, for example, giving them from the zakah, that is not allowed. But the optional sadaqah is allowed, even upon the kuffar, if they are poor and in need. And even the zakah, if they are people who you think that either close to Islam, and by giving them like this they become Muslim, or people who are harsh against Islam, so if you give them money they keep their harshness away from Muslims, then this is also permissible. Love, for example, is not allowed to be practiced with the kuffar, but does not mean you be harsh with them. No, you be kind, you be nice with them, but love, which means the act of the heart. And we all know that you may love Fahad, but you don't love me. But you still have good relation with me. So, it does not mean when you don't love them, you don't have relation with them. Naam, and we know that Islam allowed us to marry from the women of the Ahlul Kitab, the people of Scripture, if these women are of chastity. Not just any woman because she's from Ahlul Kitab, la. If she's exposing her body to the others, if she's mixing with others, no. If she's drinking or going discos, or no. But if she is always keeping herself to chastity, and but she is Christian, she worships the cross or Jesus, you're allowed to marry her. Now when you marry her, it's a sensitive thing, a very sensitive thing. You love her as a wife, but you don't love her as you love the Muslim brother or sister. They have more love and the real love of your heart. But this woman means you love her as a wife, as the woman that you love. Naam? And you'll be good and kind to her. Naam? So the Muslim is very accurate in his relations and dealings and, and the matter of love and hate. So it does not mean when I don't love the Christians, the Jews, when I don't love the whatsoever kuffar, it does not necessarily mean that I be harsh with them. No, it's not correct to be harsh with them. Harshness is only to be seen in the field of battle. There in the field of battle, no one would show other than us, even they themselves. They are liars if they say they are kind. What, they shoot you very softly or what? Killing is killing, they're gonna kill you. If there is a war, each side of the war is going to kill the other. That's the war. Now, But it does not mean, and even in the war, Islam taught us, for example, you find someone who's injured like that, you do good to him. You do good to him. Now, and the like. I don't know if this is what you mean, or you mean something else. Right.
Another question regarding these issues, basically, when the Prophet said that I prevented you from visiting the graveyard, but now I ask you to visit the graveyard in order to remember oneself. Just a clarification, basically, regarding the graveyard of the mummy.
Visiting the graveyard is of three types. Visiting graveyard, and in the graveyard are visited for one of three reasons. One or two are permissible. Two are permissible. And one is not permissible. We begin with the non-permissible. The non-permissible is to visit the graveyard in order to worship the person who's buried there, or in order to worship Allah by any type of worship that you think it is better to be practiced there by the grave, which has no proof from Rasulullah. Now, whether it is dua, obligating, or slaughtering, or whatsoever. Now, the other two are permissible. One, visiting the grave of a Muslim. And the other, visiting the grave of a non-Muslim. Visiting the grave of a Muslim is for, and the basic, concept is to make dua for them, not make dua to them, make dua for them. You ask Allah to bestow mercy on their grave. And the dua should be the way that the Prophet ﷺ taught us, As-salamu alaykum ya al-diyar. من المسلمين والمؤمنين رحم الله المستقدمين منهم المستأخرين أنتم السابقون ونحن على أثر. And at the same time, for you to remember that you are going to be there. And this is also the other type, visiting the kuffar grave. You visit the kuffar grave just to remember, not to make dua, not to make dua to them, or for them, sorry, not to make dua for them, because they died up on cover, so they don't deserve any mercy from Allah Ta'ala. They don't deserve any mercy from Allah Ta'ala. They died on cover. Now one might say, okay, what if there are children who died for kuffar family? And children, we cannot say that they are kuffar. So can we go and make dua for them? We say no. First of all, children are not going to be punished, first of all. Because punishment is related to maturity. If they disobey, if they disbelieve, after they are mature. Now, if they pass away before that age, they are not going to be punished. And in the hadith that Allah Ta'ala is going to test them on the day of resurrection. And if they do good, Allah Ta'ala will let them enter the Jannah. If they do not do good, Allah will let them enter the fire. So visiting the kuffar, the graveyard of the kuffar, is permissible. And in the hadith in Sahih Muslim and others, when the Prophet ﷺ passed by Al-Abwa, a place between Medina and Mecca, where his mother passed away and buried there, he asked Allah, he said, I asked my Lord to allow me visiting my mother's grave.
So Allah Ta'ala permitted me. And I asked him to permit me to make istighfar, seek forgiveness for her. But Allah Ta'ala did not permit me. Why? Because istighfar, seeking forgiveness, is not allowed for the non-kuffar. They don't deserve it because they died on kuffar. They don't respect, they died did not respecting Allah. Did not respecting Allah. Did not respect Allah. So you can't seek forgiveness for them. Now, but you visit only to have the remembrance. Reminder. To have the reminder. To remember that one day you're going to be there. So before you be there, you do good. You do good. Because by the life duties, one gets too busy and forgets about death and grave and destruction. That's how Allah Ta'ala yani, created human beings. Otherwise, if Allah Ta'ala created them that yani, this always in their mind, they might not live. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if I would have asked Allah Ta'ala to make you to allow you to hear the punishment of the grave. But I did not do that because you are not going to bury each other. So that's why also Allah Ta'ala created us not to remember always this fact that we are going to die and we are going to be in the grave. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, visit the grave. It reminds you. The question is why he said, I forbidden you from visiting the grave first. Because the kuffar used to visit the grave, worshipping the people in the grave. Whoever he is, they think that anybody dies has a power. Has a special power. Has a special yani, relation with Allah. That he can just do whatever he... So Allah and the Prophet ﷺ yani, wanted to wanted to filter the brains and hearts in that period. So he gave them some time until they all yani, stopped having any feelings towards the grave as people who can't do anything to them. And then he allowed them to go just to remember. And he told them, just to remember. I have the reminder. Naam? Wallahu a'lam.
What about going to church? Like, for example, somebody comes to wedding
or something like that? The brother is asking about going to the churches. Going to the churches itself is not haram. As in Sahih al-Bukhari and others. Al-Bukhari in the book of Salah, it is reported there that Ibn Umar said that he prayed in churches, and Umar said, I would have prayed in the churches if the people are not going to take it as sunnah, because he's one of the Khulafa. Now, being invited to a wedding, whether in the churches or in club or casino or disco or house or open area, it depends what's going to be there. If it is as usual, what they are going to do there? They play music, free mixing, and you know the dressing how, you know, body exposed, the fitness there, and the khamr. So why would I go? Why would I go? Now? There are some other preventers that causes you not to go. Music, khamr, pre-mixing, not unwell dressing, like that. But yani, going to the church itself, it's not haram. No. Rather to destroy it as the phenomena these days. Some ignorant Muslims go and burn and destroy churches. So the Christians come and burn and destroy mosques. This is not correct.
churches are, although false worshipping is practiced there, but they are respected in Islam. Allah commanded us to give them the right. Allah.
Going back to the question of the business in the graveyard of the Kufar, someone then argued and said, well, isn't there a hadith or adab where it says that the punishment, if a Muslim passes the graveyard of the non-Muslim, that the punishment would stop during that period?
There is a hadith like that?
Hadith or adab, I'm not sure.
I feel it's that, no.
There is a hadith, I think, in
Sheikh Al-Albani, is it sahih?
Yeah, the hadith, I don't know, but
Sheikh Al-Albani has two main books, do you know them? What are they? Sahih and Da'if. It's not, Sheikh Al-Albani says it, خلاص. Where did he say?
In Ahkam
al-Jana'ah. I know, in which section? Sahih hadith or da'if? I don't know, but I, from the structure of the hadith, I could say that this is definitely da'if. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I told you, that he said, Allah ta'ala permitted him to visit the grave of his mother. Right? And that's in Sahih Muslim. And he did not permit him to seek forgiveness. Now, who could be a better believer than Rasulullah? So this means that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited the grave of his mother, then the punishment stopped, right? And the hadith says, as the narrator, I think it's Ibn Umar, said that he was crying very badly there. For that, Allah Ta'ala did not permit him to seek forgiveness for his mother. Now, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by some grave and he hears them punished, and he said to the Sahaba, if you are not going to bury each other, I would have asked Allah to make you hear the punishment. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith of the two Muslims who were punished in their grave, he stopped and he broke a branch of a palm tree in two pieces, and he brought them over them, and he said, they are going not to stop. He said, minimize. How come now Rasulullah minimized, but any Muslim pass by and visit the grave of Kufar, it stops? No, that's not correct. I can definitely say that this hadith is not sahih. Wallahu a'lam. Because there are many other hadith shows that even if it is sahih in the structure in the structure of narration, it is not it is, as they say, it has a nakara in the matn. Because the other hadith which are very authentic, like in Sahih Muslim, says opposite of that. Now, I will go back and check the hadith, but I can tell you from now that it is life. If not mawdu'a, if not alive. Nah. Any question?
Regarding the statement here of the people, in the West they have prostitutes from the government. It's a big thing, because there's so many Muslim children that they drop. They're not prostitutes, they're prostitutes, I think it's
I understand.
And they pay a lot of money to be the foster child to bring them into your home. So, will you get the same reward if you are doing it for the money that you get for doing it rather than just for the money?
Any worship is based on the intention. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. If you just take them for the money given, that is the only reason, then your reward is your money. But if you say, I wish to take them and raise them as Muslims, inshallah, and I get benefit from this money, now, then no problem. And inshallah, the laic who goes for jihad, they go for jihad during the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They go for jihad for ishtiqul ghanima, the booty. Yeah, for the booty, and for the, of course they are going for to fight for the sake of Allah, and that's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged them. Whoever kills the Kaaba, then the booty of his is for him. The weapon and the shield and this and horse for you. So is this an encouragement to base it on dunya purposes? No. But usually, who goes to the battle will die. Now, so if it is joint like that, yani for seeking the reward from Allah, and at the same time having this money, inshallah, no problem. But if it is only the money, then he has his money. As the hadith, as the Prophet ﷺ said about the three guys, one of them was fighting for, as people know, fi sabilillah, jihad. But he did not even have any intention that this is fi sabilillah, only for people to praise him. So Allah Ta'ala says to him on the day of resurrection, they already praised you, khalas, you got your reward. Finish. Naam Allah Ta'ala. But here, I would take it as a good chance to encourage all the brothers and sisters in the world to adopt these children, whether they are children of Muslims or children of kuffar. You as a Muslim, better take them and raise them up on Islam. Naam? And no problem to give the benefit of the welfare that they give. But take them so they be raised in amongst Muslims and they know Islam. Because if you don't do that, if the Muslims do not do that, they are going to give them to non-Muslims. And Allah knows this, what they are, Christians, Hindus, they don't care whatsoever. Yeah? Wallah. Salaam alaikum. I'll I need to talk to you later.
Yeah,
after
we yeah,
no problem. After Asr, inshallah. Alaykum as-salam. Tawfiq, mashallah. Ahyaak Allah.